Happy Father's Day. As a dad of 20 years, imperfect as I may be, it was hard work being a dad. And it was worth it. It is worth it. My two boys, 20 years old and 18 years old, graduating high school, and the oldest going to a four-year. Brothers, sisters, but especially dads, press on. Lead your family. Lead your sons and daughters. With that, we are in the Summer of Psalms. And this morning, have a short review, brief review, the Summer of Psalms. The Psalms are divided into five books. Book one, 41 chapters. Book two, chapters 42 to 72. Book three, 73 to 89. Book four, 90 to 106. And book five, 107 to 150. Of the 150 Psalms, 73 can be attributed to or authorship by David, including this morning's psalm, Psalm 28. This psalm is an individual lament. While there is no specific pronouncement of a lament, the psalm does have the flavor and feel of the psalm of a lament. Psalm 28 is usually associated with Psalm 26 and Psalm 27, but more closely to Psalm 27, as both describe the Lord as a stronghold, the references to sanctuary, salvation, evildoers, and crying out. With that, Psalm 28. In the Pew Bibles, it's page 460. Verse 1. To you, O Lord, I call, my rock, be not deaf to me, lest if you be silent to me, I become like those who go down to the pit. Hear the voice of my pleas for mercy when I cry to you for help, when I lift up my hands toward your most holy sanctuary. Do not drag me off with the wicked, with the workers of evil, who speak peace with their neighbors while evil is in their hearts. Give to them according to their work and according to the evil of their deeds. Give to them according to the work of their hands. Render them their due reward. Because they do not regard the works of the Lord or the works of his hands, he will tear them down and build them up no more. Blessed be the Lord, for he has heard the voice of my pleas for mercy. The Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts, and I am helped. My heart exults, and with my song I give thanks to him. The Lord is the strength of his people. He is the saving refuge of his anointed. O save your people and bless your heritage. Be their shepherd and carry them forever. Let's pray. God the Father, we come to you in prayer. Looking into your word is truth. We know that you are lovely. And we come to you this morning in the preaching of your word, in the study of your word, that we lift up your word and look to it for wisdom, for joy, for justice, for all matters of life. To bless you so that we may be blessed. Use the preaching of your word this morning to encourage us, to lift us up, that we may worship you and love you more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So every single person, no matter how old you are, has experienced trials, pains, and trouble. Even a baby cries for comfort for mom. Or maybe you've experienced the loss of a loved one or dealing with chronic pain, ailments, or loss of a job. It could be a family crisis, marriage, a wayward son. Very few of us have actually been in war or combat. Where do people turn to in their time of need, in their time of trouble? Their bank account, their stuff, their education. Sadly, some turn to alcohol, sexual immorality, drugs, anger, even violence. Where do you turn to? Some of you know that I recently switched jobs to a new bank. At my former employer, I was responsible for all investments in Los Angeles. In 2022, my San Francisco counterpart resigned in the beginning of that year. Essentially, my workload literally not just doubled, but really tripled because of the type of work I had to clean up. I was making phone calls, virtual calls, flying to NorCal to meet clients, relationship managers, and people I didn't know. I didn't know the team up there. It was a tremendous workload. It was tremendous pressure. During this time, one Sunday morning at service in our usual spot, right in front of the drums, we were standing and we were singing, "Lord, from sorrows deep I call, when my hope is shaken, torn and ruined from the fall, hear my desperation. For so long I've pled and prayed, God, come to my rescue. Even so, the thorn remains. Still my heart will praise you." Given that weight of the situation, I literally could not sing anymore and just sat down crying in my desperate call for help to the Lord. Which brings us to the title of today's message, Cry Out to the Lord in Prayer and Trust Him. The main idea, in a time of desperate need, David cries out to the Lord to be delivered from evil and praises God when his prayers are heard. Point number one, David's cry to God. Point number two, David's call to prayer. And point number three, David's call to praise. Point number one, David's cry to God. The psalm starts off with, "To you, O Lord, I call." From the get-go, we see David crying out to the Lord. He is begging the Lord. You sense in David's tone that he is calling, he is pleading, he is in desperate need. He is urgently seeking the Lord. It shows David's inclination and his desire. We truly see David's heart. David is likely in dire need, maybe sickness, maybe a dangerous situation, maybe deep temptation. David's call, David's cry, is passionately directed to the Lord. It is a show of genuine honesty, seriousness, and faith. This is the same phrase that Jonah used when he was in the dark belly of the whale. Jonah 2, verse 2. "I called out to the Lord of my distress." For David, we don't know the exact situation, but it was something difficult. It likely lasted a long time as God had not yet answered. David's only recourse was to call on the Lord, to cry out to the Lord. Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2. "I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth." David lifted his eyes to the Lord, to the only one who can help him. Charles Spurgeon says this of verse 1, and in particular, a cry. "A cry is the natural expression of sorrow, and is a suitable utterance when all other modes of appeal fail us. But the cry must be alone directed to the Lord. For to cry to man is to waste our entreaties upon the air. When we consider the readiness of the Lord to hear and his ability to aid, we shall see good reason for directing all our appeals at once to the God of our salvation, and shall use the language of firm resolve like that in the text, I will cry." And it goes without saying, David is one who knows the Lord. He walked with the Lord. He experienced God's grace. So it would only be appropriate that he would call out and cry to the Lord. Friend, beloved, have you ever been in a stressful situation? Have you ever gone through a trial? Have you ever been in a valley? Who are you going to call? At times, I think people are trying to live halfway loving God and halfway loving idols at the same time. It is a waste as they don't go all in for the Lord. Don't waste your life chasing and calling upon worthless idols. What did Elijah say to the people in 1 Kings 18, verse 21? How long will you go limping between two different opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. Beloved, you can't limp along in life calling upon the Lord and at the same time calling upon idols, whatever idol that may be. Purpose, meaning, worth, truth is found in calling on the Lord. Stop playing games with the Lord by calling on him sometimes. Call on him all the time. I'm not saying that you shouldn't go to wise counsel or to trusted friends, to your spouse or the elders, but your first call is to the Lord. To you, O Lord, I call my rock. What do you think of the word rock? What comes to mind? In preparation for, you know, Isaac's high school graduation, I had to clean up the backyard and move these large rocks. And, you know, rocks are pretty heavy, the ones in our backyard. I even got tendonitis in both my elbows. But, you know, those big rocks are actually pretty puny when compared to the giant granite rocks in Yosemite. Earlier this year, I went to Yosemite, and it's an amazing experience just coming out of that tunnel, entering the valley. You got El Capitan to the left, and you got Half Dome on the right. 30 years ago, I actually hiked and climbed Half Dome. I felt the might, the strength, and the power of the granite, and how little I felt when compared to that monstrous stone. Our Lord is that rock. Deuteronomy 32, verse 4, the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are justice, a God of faithfulness and without iniquity, just and upright is he. Friend, there is no rock like our God. In every moment of our lives, we are to flee, to run to our Lord, our only stronghold. How does that hymn go? On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Calling Christ the solid rock rather than the world of grains of sinking sand. Run to him not only in times of peace, but especially in times of trouble and despair. Our Lord, as we just sang, that is that firm foundation where all our hopes are laid upon in every hour of trouble. Moving on, be not deaf to me, lest if you be silent to me, I become like those who go down to the pit. The deafness of God is an anthropomorphic expression similar to Psalm 27, verse 9. Hide not your face from me. Likely the situation has lasted a long time, yet God has not answered. We need to be reminded that even when God is silent, God is still working. For David, it caused great concern, even to the point of near death. In today's age of instant gratification with Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, 1 hour feels like a lifetime. We're in the me now generation. But rather, we need to wait for the Lord. God doesn't necessarily answer prayer immediately. We need to be continually in persistent prayer. No matter if it's one day, one week, one year, one month, decades. We need to wait for the Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 through 18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. I'm also reminded in Luke chapter 18, when Jesus taught the parable of the persistent widow, and later in verse 36, Jesus says, be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. Brothers and sisters, pray continuously. Wait upon the Lord. Seek his face. It took many years of prayer before Mihang's older parents came to the Lord. And what's the average age of people that get married here in Redeemed? Maybe 25? Mihang and I didn't get married until we were 32. We didn't have Jacob until 6 years later. So you do the math. I didn't have a Father's Day until I was 38. But boom, Isaac was born 1.5 years later. Keep watch, wait, and pray. Again, keep watch, wait, and pray. The reference of, like those who go down to the pit is in reference to Sheol, where the dead are. This is not saying that if God doesn't answer David's prayer that he will go down to the pit or be killed. Down to the pit is a metaphor of death. The language is a depiction of an illustration of the gravity and the gravity of the situation that he was in, and a contrast of Sheol and generally restoration. Psalm 30, verse 3. O Lord, you have brought up my soul from Sheol. You restored me to life from among those who go down to the pit. Psalm 40, verse 1 and 2. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. Except for health or medical reasons, issues, I don't think many people have had near-death type situations. I maybe had one small one. It was the year 2007. I was out of work for 5 months. Jacob and Isaac, they were 3 and 1. Toddlers, just like our church, a lot of little toddlers. That was such a fun time. It still is. I couldn't get health insurance because I was out of work, so I had to pay $1,000 in Cobra. And then I was at an industry event, just minding my own business, driving in downtown in my Camry. And all of a sudden, this large truck driving parallel to me hits me hard. And for whatever this reason, my car started to roll. And literally, my eyes were just like, what is going on? My whole life flashed in 5 seconds, and I was literally thinking and crying out loud, oh, Lord, I'm going to die, I'm going to die, I'm going to die. And so my car was literally got hit and was rolling, and it landed just like that in the middle of the street. God graciously spared my life as I climbed out of the car without a scratch. In near-death situations, true colors, your faith really comes out. And that's what came out of my mouth. I could only call out to the Lord. I could only call out to the Lord. There's no other option. That was the only option. David called out to the Lord. Beloved, friend, in dire straits, you cry out to the Lord. Verse 2, hear the voice of my pleas for mercy when I cry to you for help, when I lift up my hands toward your most holy sanctuary. In verse 2, we have a repetition, a second call. David calls the Lord directly and asks the Lord to hear him. He calls on one of God's attributes, his mercy, a plea for mercy. It is a cry that the all-merciful God will come to his help. The New American Standard says, hear the voice of my supplications. In an attitude of prayer, it is a plea. It is ongoing. It is agonizing. It is laboring. It is a plea for help. It is a passionate plea under harsh circumstances with an intense emotion. The posture of David is significant as he is raising his hands. Psalm 63, verse 4, so I will bless you as long as I live. In your name, I will lift up my hands. Psalm 141, verse 2, let my prayer be counted as incense before you and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. 1 Timothy 2, 8, I desire then that in every place the men should pray, lifting holy hands without anger or quarreling. In our community group, we have lots of babies and toddlers. What happens when that one little toddler is in distress? They cry out to mom, mama, mama. Charles Spurgeon says this of us, we are beggars. We lift them up, meaning our hands. We seek heavenly supplies. We lift them towards the mercy seat of Jesus, for there our expectations dwell. Raising and directing hands is a physical way of acknowledging our dependence upon the Lord. By raising hands, we are showing that we are vulnerable and open to the Lord. We are completely the Lord's. In our worship service, some raise their hands, sometimes one hand, sometimes two hands. It is a physical posture of needing the Lord. It's an acknowledgement. And where did David lift his hands to? The holy sanctuary. This is the Holy of Holies, the inner sanctuary in the temple. It is where the Ark of the Covenant was placed. It was the place associated with the presence of the Lord. Psalm 134, verse 2. Lift up your hands to the holy place and bless the Lord. Solomon directed the Israelites to direct their prayers towards the temple. 1 Kings, verse 8, chapter 8. And again, back to Jonah. Jonah was already in the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights. And every child knows this story, chapter 2. Chapter 2 actually almost reads like a psalm. Listen to Jonah, chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the belly of the fish, saying, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried. And you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. Then I said, I am driven away from your sight, yet I shall look again upon your holy temple. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped about my head at the roots of the mountains. I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was fading away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Just as Jonah cried out to the Lord and directed his cry to the holy temple, so did David direct his cry to the Lord with lifted hands to the holy temple. Beloved, are you directing your cries to the Lord with lifted hands? Are you directing your cries to the Lord? This is point number one, David's cry to God. Point number two, David's call to prayer, verses 3 to 5. Do not drag me off with the wicked, with the workers of evil who speak peace with their neighbors while evil is in their hearts. In this call to prayer, David prays that he not be dragged with the wicked. Throughout Scripture, we read a lot about wickedness and evil. I mean, Psalm 110, which we just read, mentioned wickedness. Throughout Scripture, we see wickedness and evil. Looking back 80 years ago, what happened? D-Day, when the Allies stormed the beaches of Normandy and launched to defeat the evil Nazi Germany and the Third Reich. As opposed to today, where there is, whether it is war, terror attacks, or anything, The world actually behaves almost like that evil doesn't exist. This is a direct lie from Satan. This is today's clear and present danger that we would be dragged off with the wicked and evildoers. We are sinners that are God's image bearers, saved by grace, but still capable of sin, to drift, to fall away, to be dragged away. Thus the stern warning from the very first Psalm. Psalm 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. It is crystal clear that we are to not walk or be associated with the wicked, and to be not in their counsel. David prays that he not be swept up with the wicked. You know, one of the most damaging effects on the world has been COVID. I mean, we can all agree on that. But in particular, the shutting down of churches. For the redeemed, we had to follow the Lord and not man. God is the priority. Church is the priority. Meeting with each other as a body to worship the Lord is the priority. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. When Redeem South Bay opened early, we came and we worshiped together Sunday, March 31st, 2020. That was 4 years ago. The elders decided that we don't want to be dragged with the wicked of being shut down. But once we restarted meeting in person, you know what happened? The wicked started coming after us. As the city and LA County actually cited us 3 to 4 times. We even had someone come to the front entrance of the church taking a picture of us to report us. As a church, we held to our convictions that there was only one option, to stay open no matter the cost, because we loved and obeyed the Lord rather than man or fear man. Tragically, many Christians to this day, because of COVID, are not following the Lord. We're not going to church. Isn't it so true that what's happening in our society, that evildoers speak peace with their neighbors while evil is in their hearts? Brothers and sisters, we have to discern with a proper biblical worldview. When interacting with all aspects of society, in areas such as the economy, the media, entertainment, sports, family, because many times what people say, which appears good, all politicians do that, by the way, we all know, right? It doesn't match up with what's in their hearts. Here's an example, just a few examples. Government bailouts. Equity. The use of pronouns. School officials not disclosing information about your children. They all sound like good things, but it's evil. It's evil. Verses 4 and 5. Give to them according to their work and according to the evil of their deeds. Give to them according to the work of their hands. Render them their due reward. Because they do not regard the works of the Lord or the works of his hands, he will tear them down and build them up no more. This is an imprecatory prayer. David prays that the evildoers receive punishment according to their activity and practices. And in doing so, David is praying for justice. The works of evil before the Lord demands justice. Look at the emphasis and the repetition. According to their work. According to the evil. According to the work of their hands. 3 times that word according is used. It is a prayer for the judgment of their sin. This is in sharp contrast, that they do not regard the works of the Lord or the work of his hands. David asked the Lord to bring upon them severe judgment because of the vile sins they've committed. We see the works of the Lord in his common grace. Let's do a quick contrast of the works of the Lord and the works of evil. The works of the Lord in creation, Genesis 1:1. Works of evil, evolution. The works of the Lord, male and female, Genesis 1:27. Works of evil, transgenderism. Works of the Lord in marriage between a biological man and a biological woman, Genesis 2:24. Works of evil, same-sex marriage, polygamy. Works of the Lord, children are a blessing, Psalm 127, verses 3 to 5. Works of evil, abortion. Works of the Lord, parent-child relationship, Ephesians 6, 1 to 4. Works of evil, state-child relationship. Brothers and sisters, be discerning. In every event, is it the work of the Lord or is it the work of evil? When we look outside to the oceans, to the San Gabriel Mountains, to the wildflowers in PV, to the whales and dolphins of the sea, creation speaks loudly about God's work, about his good works. The atheist, the fool, doesn't see God's common grace in creation. Brothers and sisters, we are to be reminded that evil is working and appears at times to have the upper hand, but no plan of man can thwart God's plans. This is point number two, God's call, David's call to prayer. Point number one, David's cry to God. Point number two, David's call to prayer, which brings us to our last point, number three, David's call to praise. Verse 6, blessed be the Lord, for he has heard the voice of my pleas for mercy. David just poured out his heart crying out for help in verses 1 to 5. With the fate of evildoers in God's hands alone, he can only do one thing, which is turn to jubilant praise. It is a joyous response to answer prayer, from a pleading prayer to praise. He says, blessed be the Lord. And what does it mean to be blessed be the Lord? Paul says this of Jesus in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 15 and 16. He who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see. And what does it mean that God is blessed? This is one of the perfections of God, blessedness, as defined by Bavinck. It's the attribute according to which he is perfectly blessed and knows and loves his perfection, self-sufficiently, delighting and resting in himself. God is infinitely and absolutely perfect. He is the sum total of all virtues, the supreme being, the supreme truth. God is absolute life, the fountainhead of all life. This is the God that David praises. Happy is the one who praises the Lord. Blessed are the people whose God is the Lord. Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Only by knowing that God is blessed, that we are blessed. It is where we have deep joy, contentment, and inner peace. It is God who has given us in Christ every spiritual blessing. Verse 7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts, and I am helped. My heart exults, and with my song I give thanks to him. David is affirming that the Lord is his strength, and true strength comes from the Lord, and that the Lord is his shield, his defense. Genesis 15:1, after this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a great vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your great reward. Proverbs 30, verse 5, every word of God proves true. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Psalm 18, verse 2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. There is no reason to go elsewhere if God is a rock and a shield. In saying that the Lord is his rock, strength, and shield, it is the ultimate protection that only the Lord gives. In our weakness, we go to the Lord who is immortal and blessed. Because the Lord is David's strength, David's shield, David's refuge, he can trust in him. He says, in him my heart trusts. It is a matter of the heart. Do you trust the Lord with all your heart? David's response is, he has heard the voice of my pleas. I am helped. I give thanks to him. Psalm 115, verse 9. O Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. It is also a reminder that our prayers are never in vain. That God is a God that hears your prayers wherever and whenever. God is ready to help those who are seeking him. You know, one of the things I ask people is, what are you seeking? What are you seeking? Are you seeking the Lord? Honestly, are you seeking the Lord? Or are you seeking an idol? Or are you doing something that is selfish? In our prayers, we are reminded to give thanks. And you've heard the saying, an attitude of gratitude. But many times we don't. We are to give thanks to the Lord in the small things, but also in to remember him for the big things. Psalm 95, verse 2, let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Psalm 92, verse 1, it is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High. Psalm 118, verse 1, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 and 18. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Philippians 4, 6, 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And it's just a reminder that prayer and thanksgiving go hand in hand. And I'm reminded in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, verses 17 and 18, about the 10 lepers who were healed by Jesus. But only one person, a Samaritan, a foreigner, turned back to give Jesus praise. And it is a reminder for us that we need to be thankful, to give thanks. How can 9 out of 10 men that had at the time a condition that could not be healed. How ungrateful. How ungrateful. We need to thank God in everything, whether your prayers are answered or not. You're really showing your dependence upon him. Maybe the circumstances haven't changed after much and long prayer. But you know what hopefully changed? Your heart, your attitude, your trust, your confidence, your thankfulness in the Lord. The book of Psalms, right? It's a collection of praises. It could be a song. There are poems. Many of them have been put to song or music. Just even in some of the headings of the Psalms, right? Psalm 4, to the choir master with string instruments, a psalm of David. Psalm 30, a psalm of David, a song at the dedication of the temple. Psalm 48, a psalm of the sons of Korah. And what's a song? It's a deep expression of what is going on with a person. And every generation has their heart music. You know, for me, it was Journey and Amy Grant. And much of the lyrics of songs are really what's going on at the time, right? The Psalms give us what daily living is like and to engender us to the proper praise and worship of the Lord. So it would only be appropriate for David, author of 73 Psalms, to bust out in a song, to bust out in Psalm 28. It is a reflection and attitude coming from the heart. In him my heart trusts, and I am helped. My heart exalts, and with my song I give thanks to him. It is a praise from his whole being. David is handling his desperate situation by composing a song and singing. Verses 8 and 9. The Lord is the strength of his people. He is the saving refuge of his anointed. Oh, save your people and bless your heritage. Be their shepherd and carry them forever. David transitions from verses 1 through 7, where it's personal, to the Lord is the strength of his people. David broadens his praise from an individual to the people. David is calling upon the Lord on behalf of the nation of Israel, that they would be strengthened through every trial, and that the Lord would save his people and bless their heritage. The heritage or inheritance is something that can't be taken away. God's people are counted his most valuable possession. Deuteronomy 4:20, but the Lord has taken you and brought you out of the iron furnace, out of Egypt, to be a people of his own inheritance, as you are this day. Lastly, a praise asking God to be their shepherd and carry them forever. And what does a shepherd do? A shepherd will provide, tend, gather, carry, defend, and lead the flock. We have seen throughout the Bible that the Lord has carried his people time and time, from Adam to Noah to Abraham to Isaac to Jacob to David to his people today. God, the forever shepherd, carries his people. Isaiah 40, verse 11. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. David, a shepherd boy, the youngest of 8 sons of Jesse, who eventually became the anointed king, who shepherded God's people, David calls upon the Lord, the great king, the great shepherd, the head shepherd. David, a type of Christ. Christ, the head shepherd. In the very words of Jesus, the good shepherd, in John chapter 10, verses 7 to 11. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd laid down his life for the sheep." In closing, friend, if you don't know Jesus, let this be the day of salvation. Jesus is the good shepherd. He is the door. He is the only way to salvation. Jesus, born of the Virgin Mary, lived a perfect life, laid down his life, was buried, rose on the third day, ascended into heaven, and is now seated at the right hand of God. Let this be the best Father's Day for you, that you will know God the Father through God the Son. The good shepherd who laid down his life for his sheep, for salvation is found only in Christ. Cry out to him. Trust him. The Lord carries his people home to safety. Don't we all want to be in a safe place to be carried? The only place is salvation in Christ. And this is point number 3, David's call to praise. 3 points: David's cry to God, David's call to prayer, David's call to praise. David cried out to the Lord in desperate need. He prayed and trusted in him. Will you? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the word this morning. Thank you for being the good shepherd, and that we are all in desperate need of you. So we cry out to you, and we sing a song from our hearts to praise you, because you are the only one worthy of praise, as you will carry and take us home. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.